Hello. So today's reading is from John 1, verses 14 to 18, and it's on page 1063 on your church Bibles. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one that I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' Out of his fullness we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in the closest relationship with the Father, has made him known."
I've been saying the last months, my name is Jeff Sowden, and I'm new at St. Nick's. But I shall have to stop saying that, because every time I speak to somebody, they've been here less time than me. It happened again this morning, which is great news, isn't it? Great news. My name is Jeff Sowden. I haven't been here, well, I've been here a year. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, the Word, speak to us your Word tonight. That very specific word that applies to many of us, to one of us, to all of us. That very specific tailored word that's for us. Because we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So I arrived at head office. I'd never been there before. I was fairly new in the company. And I needed to go to the third floor, which was where the directors were. And you could tell when you're on the third floor because of the amount of carpet in. And I was shown into the managing director's office. He was the managing director of retail, and it was a business. There were about 50 or 60,000 people in the business. And he'd gathered a group of eight of us to do a very specific project for him, and the eight people were from all over the business. I'd never met him. His name was Pat Kieran, and he was the beating heart of the company. Everybody seemed to know him, and he was loved and respected. And we were put round this conference table, and he turned to me first, and he said, "How's your wife?" And he used her name. And I said, and then he went round all eight of us, and he'd obviously researched the names and the details of our family. I can still remember that as I'm telling you tonight, an extraordinary thing to do. Now, that's not an exact illustration for our passage tonight, but it does come a long way to help us to see what these verses mean for us. The Word lived among us. That's the title that we've been given. Now, if you're like me and you've been in church a long time, you've been coming at Christmas, you'll have heard the one John reading a lot. And the words are familiar, aren't they? Perhaps so familiar that they just go over our head. Until this week, I'm not sure I'd ever got inside those words. The Word became flesh. So we're going to see tonight, we're going to try and do that. And we're going to see what it means for each of us. The Word became flesh. The commentators point out that the word used, well, the word could have been used was man or woman or human or body, but the word that was used was flesh. Now, I looked up the dictionary definition, a soft substance between the skin and the bones. In other words, this is real stuff, isn't it? It's not some theological idea, but it's stuff. It can be messy. It can be very individual. Your flesh is certainly not like mine, and et cetera, et cetera. But it's a part of who you and I are. Let's try and see the implications of this, bearing in mind that John is using a term, the Word, which was used by Jews to refer to God. Some familiar quotes and some not familiar quotes. Lo, within a manger lies he who built the starry skies. Now, I can't read that, so presumably you can't either. It's the first time I've managed to put words on an image, so I failed on that one. Oh, can you? Oh, good. Okay, right. Now, this comes from a poem by George MacDonald. I have to confess I've never heard of him, but there you go. They were all looking for a king to slay their foes and lift them high. But what they actually got, thou camest a little baby thing that made a woman cry. God, the Creator, comes in flesh to his own creation. Amazing. What do you do with that? I mean, it's just extraordinary. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, full of grace and truth. Israel had longed for the visible presence of God, hadn't they? They wanted God to be with them. And they wanted the evidence of God's glory to be there all around them. And occasions in the Old Testament, which we know where this was the case, are pretty rare, like at Sinai, like at the opening of Solomon's temple. I love that bit, just as an aside. You know, the cloud of his presence was so huge that all the stuff that the priests and the vicars had done had to be ditched. They wanted that glory, didn't they? The visible presence of God. But where was the glory in a baby being born in a dirty, smelly stable? What does all this mean for us? Flesh on one hand and glory on the other. Jesus living amongst us in flesh, but with that glory. What's that saying? Where does that sit? Two things I want us to think about. Firstly, what does it mean for us? He identified with us. Here we have the flesh bit, the humanity. See, flesh stresses the human condition, the human existence in all its frailty and vulnerability. Isaiah 40 puts it like this: we in our human state are likened to grass. Somewhat humbling, isn't it? And we've only got to look at Israel and Palestine at the moment to see the reality of that. God is with us in our weakness and in our vulnerability. Our Creator knows what it's like to be Jeff. A few other quotes. He abhors not the virgin's womb. In other words, he didn't despise or seek to reject his human birth. Our weakness is his very own chosen form of being. Our weakness is his very own chosen form of being. Who does that? Who chooses weakness? The recent England World Cup cricket team could be accused of that, perhaps. Could be in trouble for that. Do you feel that your circumstances are difficult? Jesus was born in a stable. Do you feel that God has somehow given up on you at this present moment? Jesus, at the very moment of needing God the most, cried out, "Why have you forsaken me?" Do you feel bereaved at this point in time? Jesus wept at the tomb of Lazarus. The flesh bit, for me, is all about Jesus identifying with me, with each of us. Someone in my last parish I came to know, his name is Clive. He relates his instant, I think it's the only person I've ever met, he relates his instant conversion to the moment that he woke up in his hospital bed trying to recover from a serious heart attack. And he said to me, "I woke up and there was Jesus sitting at the end of my bed." So firstly then, Jesus identifies with us. Secondly, he reveals God to us. And so here we have the glory bit, the divinity. Moses is struggling to come to terms with who God is. If you remember this, it comes in Exodus 34. And he says to God, "I want to be shown your glory." And in that famous verses 5 and 6 of Exodus 34, the Lord, the compassionate. Now, I've forgotten my glasses and can't read that. So, can you read it, Chris?
The Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness.
Thank you very much. So when God answered that question, what he wanted to show and do was who he was in his very being. Compassionate and gracious. And John tells us in verse 14, doesn't he, of our reading, that in Jesus we have seen that glory described as full of grace and truth. But more than that, from verses 16 and 17, from the fullness of his grace we've all received one blessing after another, for the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So we've not just seen that glory, but that glory came through Jesus, bringing fullness of grace for each one of us. That love and grace is available for each of us. Jesus, in his love, came in flesh and on the cross died for us. Jesus, in his grace on the cross, took our punishment, providing the gift of forgiveness and restoring us to live with him forever. Jesus, in his love, came in flesh and on the cross died for us. Jesus, in his grace on the cross, took our punishment. The moment of apparent weakness, as everybody looked at him on the cross and thought, what a waste of a life. The moment of apparent weakness in his humanity actually revealed his divinity, didn't it? His glory as God. The heart of the Christian faith. It's why we're here. It's our security. It's our assurance. Our existence. Jesus, at that moment of weakness, revealed his glory. And what's more, from verse 16 we read, that fullness of grace goes on being given and received in our lives. From the fullness of his grace, we've all received one blessing after another. Another quote. Our human life is truly the vehicle for God's life. Our human life is truly the vehicle for God's life. If we are to show God's glory, we should never be afraid of our weakness. If we are to show God's glory, we should never be afraid of our weakness. Who knows who that is? It's John Kirkby, the founder of CAP. And as we were thinking about, is starting up the right term, Joy, for our CAP, for starting up again? And praying for Colin, who's going to be our debt center manager. Christians Against Poverty was started by John Kirkby. For those of you that don't know his story, he basically was completely done. He was hugely in debt, losing his job, his house, his family, everything. He couldn't have been in a weaker position. And because of that, he started CAP. And I don't know about you, but you think about Christian agencies in our secular society today, and they don't get much traction, do they? But repeatedly, what's the name of the... Is it Martin Lewis? Yeah, Martin Lewis repeatedly says that CAP is the best debt agency in the country. And repeatedly, CAP gets that real traction that in Christian agencies of 100 years ago did, but often now don't. Our human life in all its weakness truly, surely is the vehicle for God's life. So, if we feel inadequate, if we feel weak, if we feel somehow that we're just not being able to connect with God at this point in time. These verses from John tell us that once we've accepted God's grace in us, that grace goes on being given. His blessings go on being given. And that's not about feelings. In the weakness of our flesh, His glory is seen. Let's pray. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, full of grace and truth. Lord, I pray tonight that You'll help us to see through feelings. To see You in Your flesh come for each one of us. To see You on the cross in Your weakness, dying for each one of us. To see You continuing to pour out Your grace into our hearts and our situations and our lives. Situations that at the moment seem completely intractable. Problems that just don't seem to go away. Lord, Your grace is being poured out into those very situations at this moment. And it's sufficient for now, and it's sufficient into the future. In the silence, let's just appropriate that grace once more to ourselves, for our situations, for the tasks that we've been called to, for the tasks that might be round the corner and we don't know yet. God's people all said.